All right, we're now thinking of planning for atmosphere, and if we come up with anything that you want to talk about, do think of variety, something new, and it doesn't have to be expensive, like not an expensive concrete mini golf thing, but just a simple grass mini golf thing, or just a few tyres. It's amazing what you can do in that way. A trolley slide. We were hard up to do this, and we built a trolley chute. Look, it went up like this in steps, it came down like that in a bit of a hill, and had a platform at the top here, and you put the trolley there like that, and the person lay on it with their chin over here, body there, the shape of the trolley with wheels there, crossed like that, and the guy was here with his hands here, and his body down, the body down there, the legs are there. You're just that far off the ground, and the idea of speed was amazing. The journey wasn't going very fast. It wasn't very costly. All the wood we got for it was seconds and stuff from a timber yard. I suppose we built it for something like $20, $30. I found one of those trolleys the other day somewhere in the back of one of our sheds and was remembered, you know, what a lot of fun we used to have with that. But I don't try to have lots of new things. Just so when the kids, oh, that's new, and the kids that come, oh, that's new, and there's one new thing. And it doesn't have to be expensive. All right, anticipation. Never give all your program away. If you say you're going for a hike, half the girls will feel sick because they don't want to go. So you don't let them know that. And keep some excitement, you know, in the wings. Don't let them know all that you're going to do. Creativity. Make room for people to do things. At the bottom there, there's a list of things and that you'll see. But for instance, kites is one thing where it's a lot of fun if the weather's right, where kids can be creative and leaders can be creative, artwork and so on. Interest. Don't overwork a good idea or program. Now that's a simple rule, isn't it? We all know that rule well. Knock the program off with everybody wanting more. You can play the same game over and over and over again. If you stop it, oh, just one more, you know, one more. You say, no, that's it. Ah. Next night they'll have it. But if you give them the one more, you've ruined that game for keeps. Okay? A challenge. Take them further now spiritually. You want them to get into discipleship. So share the Lord with somebody at camp. You want to take that one step further. Abseiling, for instance, or orienteering, or whatever. We'd do abseiling and we would abseil down the town and we'd put them over the grotto. Grotto, that's exciting. The boys come down the water, the girls come down the boat. Because men are men. And we'd row the girls out. Unless the girls want to be men. But it's very, very, you know, going down the wall for abseiling is piece of cake. Going over that grotto, because it's quite, we've just got a big steel bar, a bar out there, and you sort of push off the bar and you dangle a bit. You've got to be quite good. And you look way down there at the rocks at the bottom, and you say, you sure you've got that rope on right? And when kids, you know, say, have you been down the grotto yet? Yep, went down the grotto this afternoon. You know, and they're excited. You've challenged them to do something that extended themselves within their capability. All right, behavior. Always let campers know what's expected. Meal times. You behave. Anybody flicking food, that's it. Throwing water. If you put salt and pepper on somebody else's meal in our camp, you miss your next meal. And that's the only time a kid will miss a meal, if they play around with somebody else's food. And they've got to get caught doing it. It's not hearsay. What's expected at bedtime? And I've said somewhere, you start putting kids to bed at 5 o'clock or dinner time. You don't put kids to bed at bedtime. You start putting them to bed at dinner time. We'll talk about that when we get there. Care of the grounds and equipment. If we come in to, say, lunch and the grounds are untidy and a lot of gear's not put away, I'd say to the cook, hey, I've got a bit of a problem out there. The place is a mess. Can you hang on to dinner for a quarter of an hour? And say, yeah, he knows what's going on. And I get everybody sitting down, everybody quiet, say, right, our camp is a shambles. This is Totara Springs, not some grotty dump. And you folk are going to go out there and clean up. There is no food until you get it clean. They're out there, they clean it all up, they come back, and in a quarter of an hour, your camp is spotless. And they won't let it get dirty again. It's a simple little thing, but it's a great help. Their behavior in regard to, say, boys and girls. No boys and girls' cabins, no girls and boys' cabins, no boys in other people's cabins. Stay in your own. Sport, and we have 5 points for a win, 3 points for a draw, and out of 16 points for sportsmanship. And because it's not winning that counts, it's being a sport. And the referee in the game will say, well, your team were late, and there were a bunch of moaners. Let's suppose we give you 4 points, your team weren't bad, they moaned a little bit, we'll give you 10. You don't have to use the 16, but you're going to have 8 each, that's use the 16, or 10 and 5, or 10 and 4, or whatever. And that's, so it's better to be a good sport than win. The other team might win and get 5 points to win, and you might be a terrific team that went down smiling and get 10 points for sportsmanship. So they understand that. Cleanliness, everybody has a shower. Must clean their teeth at least once a day. Caring, at bedtime with little kids, help them make their bed. You just don't put kids to bed. Okay, everybody, go to sleep. And you pull up your great big fairy down sleeping bag, sawing your head off in 5 minutes, and this poor little Johnny, they never made a bed before in a bunk. And at 2 o'clock, he's shivering, and he wakes you up, you get all mad at him. What I do with little kids is go around the cabin on the top bunk, tea, you're okay, your bed's a bit of a shambles. I should have done this at tea time. When you start putting kids to bed, check the beds then. I should have done it, but I haven't. So I say, right, I'll hop down, and I'll make the bed properly for him, and tuck the blankets in, and get all nice, get his pillow, if he's only got a pillow, so stuff it with a towel or whatever. Okay, that's all fixed. Okay, slide in. There we go. Tuck you in. And if I think, the little kids of 10 years of age are proper little hoods during the day, going to bed at night, they're just little kids. And I give them a kiss. I just give them a kiss on the foot, and right, I had a good day. Snuggle down, go to sleep. You be nice to kids at bedtime, you will get 100% out of them the next day. Okay, you stupid little beggar, shut up and go to sleep because I'm tired. That's not what I call down here friendship camping. That's bullying kids. So care for kids. Kids should know that you care. All right, initiative. Encourage this in the leaders. I have a rule. If things go wrong and you are forced to use your initiative, I will turn camp upside down to make it come out right. As long as the guy wasn't showing off. But if, he's down there canoeing, the rain's coming over, oh, what should I do? Grief. I reckon I should go back. He comes back and then the rain doesn't come. And he's blown a piece. Oh, sorry, Mel, but that doesn't matter. You did what you thought you should have done. And we make it come out right. Don't run your camp on a points bribery system. All we have points for are sports. We don't have any special duties. Like if you're washing a Holden car, it's 30 points. If you're washing a little mini, it's 15. And that's a lot of fun. That's a bargaining system. You get your points before you do the job. But we don't get points for duties. They should do duties properly without points. They should do vegetables without points. I believe they've got to accept responsibility. That's my personal view. We have certificates for excellence. Kids that have performed well would get a certificate, and that's a real help. Discipline. Now, we've talked here about this militaristic business. Was it with you that I said I could get you standing up on the seats? Have I talked to you about that? Well, I could get you all standing up on those seats. In fact, I could get you all standing up on these desks. Right on these desks here, on one leg, all of you. You two in the front. Yeah, I would. You'd be up there on one leg, holding your ear and your nose like this. You'd all be there. And you would do it just like that. You'd do it too near. You'd be there. The guy there with the hearing, he'd be there. Yep. You'd all be there. A brother back there, well, he'd be there that quick. See, because down here I've got a machine gun, you see. And I would shoot a couple. And when you see these guys get shot, you'd be up there. Now, that's not discipline. That's what I call bullying. And a lot of leaders run their organizations, rally, youth groups, whatever, by, if you don't, I'll thump you, because I'm bigger than you, so you'll do it, you're blue well told. That isn't leadership. That isn't what we're talking about. Discipline is, in that paragraph there, is teaching people to do the right thing because they believe it's the right thing to do. Now, that takes time. To teach our kids, we have a law in our home, nothing happens until their bed is made in the morning. They can have a shower, yeah, the bed is. But if their bed isn't made, nothing happens. They just don't get anything. Is your bed made? Well, go and do it now. But that, now. As you know, we did that for 15 years, and now they make their bed every morning because they believe it's the right thing to do. Now, that was a bullying attitude to begin with, but you've got to teach people so that when you leave kids on their own, they do the right thing because they believe that's the right thing. Now, that takes a lot of doing. It's not as easy as it sounds. So kids don't drop litter, not because they're going to get points knocked off. They don't drop litter because they believe it's the right thing not to do. We shouldn't drop litter. We shouldn't do that. I've never hit a kid. See, you do this.
All right, now then.
Love doing that. That's assault. That's because your blooming sister wouldn't give me a cold cup of coffee. That's assault. You mustn't even do that. Not even a little cuff. That didn't hurt him. Killed a couple of bugs, but it didn't hurt him. All right, but that's assault. You cannot hit a child. That's a law. And you're all here to witness, and he could take me to court for assault, and he would win. I assaulted him in public. And of course, in Scandinavia, it's worse than that. You can't even speak to a person in what is called a derogatory fashion. A parent can't even do that. His kid in that country. All right, so you've got to be very, very careful. You've got to teach people to do the right thing because they believe it is the right thing to do in regard to caring for each other, in regard to putting things away, checking things, not breaking things. And I once came, the closest I've come to hitting kid, we had a lovely donkey called Caleb. It was a beautiful donkey. He was so quiet. You put any little kid in him, you put your little kids in him, and just put that little baby I saw around here, you put that little baby on Caleb, and he would be so good. And as soon as that little baby, he would stop. He was a beautiful donkey, absolutely marvelous, tremendous. Any of you have seen our little green brochure thing? That's Caleb on the cover there. Fabulous donkey. And I saw some teenagers, about your size, was he with it? And he got his bridle on, and they were sitting on the fence, holding the bridle, bringing him in and kicking him in the face with their feet. I saw that happening. I got down that line, and believe you me, I nearly hit those kids. I mean, I nearly did. I got hold of them together. They accidentally bumped. I don't know why, my hands sort of getting up. And I put them down, and they accidentally hit the ground hard, and then I picked them up and put them against the fence that was closer than I thought, and they hurt their back, but that wasn't my fault. And then I got them out back close, so I didn't need notes, and told those kids exactly what I thought of them. And they were nearly down the road. They were very nearly down the road. I mean, that was a beastly thing to do. And I nearly, but that's the closest I've ever come to hitting a kid. But you've got to do the right thing, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Anybody can bully kids. That's not leadership. Blowing your whistle, that's not leadership. Okay, everybody, let's be quiet. Hush up. That's about all you should need. And everybody's quiet. This blowing your whistle all the time. I said to a person, if you're going to blow your whistle 3 times, swallow it. Because that's not any good. Except in the game, of course. I will, you know, I sometimes have people come to camp and they want to blow whistles in my dining room for quiet. I say, what are you doing? Getting quiet. Well, I'm sorry, this is Torch Springs. We don't have whistles in the dining room. Just ask them to be quiet. Oh, you do it then. I do it. It's not difficult. Just tell them to be quiet. Just wait. I mean, the guys put their hand up. Nobody puts their hand up. You know, it's like the end of some, you know, appeal. But you have to get a system of doing things. Camaraderie, more than friendship, a companion, togetherness, teamwork, where they need each other, like in super tabloids, where you're trying to get everybody over a wall. Now that takes, there's lots of those that we could talk about if you're interested, there are many ideas. But that's a fun thing. But they've got to work as a team. There's no way you're going to do that if you won't work as a team. And if you've got someone that's pretty big and heavy, well then you've got to be a bit careful. You've got to work it carefully that person's part of the team. Okay? And so that's important. Or somebody's very tiny and very, very, you know, not very strong. And we often mix, you know, boys and girls for this kind of thing. But they've got to learn that they need each other. And you know, that you can do that with 12 people. You can do that in something like 15 seconds if you get it right. I've seen people mucking around with that after 2 hours and still haven't got it. And they'll work and they'll struggle and they get all frustrated. Then eventually you tell them how to do it. Bit by bit. And they do it. And they get very, very quick. You folk in that corner, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, if you were those folk there, if you worked at it for a little while, you'd get over there in at least half a minute. I'll lolly you. Be all over and on the other side. Then what you do, you give them a rucksack full of water, you know, with water in it, with water bottles, and all the tops off. And they've got to get that over on somebody's back without spilling any water. All right, it's a lot of fun, just a fun thing, but they need each other. They've got to learn that that's why the only reason you're doing it. All right, control, devotions, for instance. That was camaraderie in devotions. They need each other for that too, in your discussion groups. They appreciate each other. Now, bullying is out. Whistles are out for discipline's sake. Whistle to get control, maybe, in a game or something like that, sure. But in the dining room or in the chapel and that sort of thing, whistles are a no-no. The words sergeant major, camp commandant, chuck them in the rubbish tin. You know, they went out years ago. Camps that are still messing around with sergeant majors, camp commandants, and all these other words they used from the army. Let the army go. Grow up. And there are lots of other words, such as camp director, camp codat, and things like that. Look, Coach Springs uses. No, but often we use these words, and your leaders tend to get that sort of army idea of shouting and yelling, and you be quiet. You talk nicely to people. You don't have to have a lot of this macho attitude with boys. Often from a single parent home, they want a father image. Not somebody walking around the place in boots and a stick, called a sergeant major. I don't like those words, and I will never use them. But then they come to friendship control. And I put down there, and in my notes I've just got it highlighted, and very often I will say to the leaders, if I came to your team, dear, and I said to anyone in your team, who's your best friend at camp? They should say, my leader is my best friend. My best friend is my leader. That's friendship camping. You've lost something precious. You've lost a ring. Okay, let's go and look for it. You can get another one from Woolworths, but we'll go and look for it. This girl's lost an earring, and it was just a little stone. Well, let's go and look for it. Well, we can't find it, dear. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't give money away. You don't offer to pay for it. But there are all sorts of things that have gone wrong. A kid gets a silly letter from home, and you find they're all lonely. Now, if you're a friendship camper, you're so close to your kid that kid's, they got a letter then that when the mail was given out, and they're different. Did you get a bad letter today? What was the matter? And the mother's been stupid enough to tell that the dog got run over at home or something like that. When the kid's 100 miles away from home, she gets a letter like this. Of course the kid's in a mess. But you're a friend. You lead by friendship. You lead by kindness. A kid comes along and says, oh, Uncle Mark, I've lost my torch. You don't say, well, have you looked here? You say, let's go look for it. Come on, go together. And then she walks up, well, you're a Christian. You know, don't forget to slip the question, you're a Christian. No, I'm not. But I'm going to stay behind in chapel tonight. Oh, you don't do it for me. You know, but it's amazing. The little conversations you have, you're all the while working. You never dream. You never sit. You know, sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit. Well, you never just sit. Whenever you've got a reason to be with somebody, they're golden opportunities. This kid has lost his running shoes. Well, let's go and look for them. Where did you leave them last? Let's think. Where were you last? Down by the canoes. Miles away. Tell you what we'll do. Shouldn't do this. We'll go and see if we can have the trike, and you can ride on the back, and we'll see if we can go down the back. Okay, I'll go and see if I can fix it. And you got a little kid on that. He thinks you're Christmas. You like riding the trike. You find his sand shoes. You come back. You've got a buddy. He will give you anything. He'll love you, support you. The big problem is you mustn't push it into spiritual things, that he becomes a Christian because he loves you. That's going too far. But an awful lot of camping that I see, and I see an awful lot of camping, is not friendship camping. It's bullying, yelling, thumping, discipline, shouting, ordering. It's not friendship camping. And they don't like their leaders. They don't like... We've got a guy called Snoopy, and I mentioned before about nicknames. You know, he came to our camp, and he was as thick as a brick, old Snoopy. And you don't know his real name. And we could only have him for one camp, helping in the kitchen. Today, he's one of our best leaders. And you know, the thing is, he's a caring person. And in the changeover, everybody wants to be in Snoopy's cabin. Because he cares. Now, he doesn't buy them things at the canteen. He doesn't buy them a whole box of peanut slabs or anything. He doesn't buy anything. He knows the rules. You never buy your leaders anything. You share, maybe. Your midnight feast, you buy your little, you know, things you're going to toast on the candle. Fine. You know, the marshmallows. But you only make your contribution. You don't buy kids' friendship. You earn it by being a friend. And you should be your camper's best friend. All right, exhaustion. Well, we've talked about control, good activities, and not too much free time, but a little bit. Exhaustion. A serious problem in lots of children's camps, and often misunderstood as demonism, and all they want is a good sleep. Siestas, except in health camps, are out. So we work it on this quarter of an hour changeover thing that I talked about. See, they have 3/4 an hour activity, and it might be a furious game of soccer or something, or whatever, water polo or something like that, and they've been giving it all they've got, and they come in and they're really tired, even cheering's tiring. And we say, okay, everybody, let's sit down, and I will have something funny to say, or just an excuse. I want to tell you something. Can everybody be quiet? Can you hear me at the back? Okay. And you know, the whole thing is just a great big stupid act. But you just want them to sit still for 15 minutes. That's all, just a quarter of an hour sitting still. So in the day, they have two activities in the morning, three in the afternoon. That's an hour and a half. They've been sitting still doing nothing. They don't know it. But you've deliberately worked in your... Just slow them down and sit them down. Just have a waffling, you change over. And we call it waffling. Could you come up here and have a waffle for a minute? I've just got to go and do something, see? And you get up, you get good at it, you waffle on about something. And well, what are we going to talk about? We'll talk about the horses. You know, do something, talk, just talk. And folk just come up and they just talk. But the reason is everybody's being quiet, even in the dining room. You know, they had a very, very heavy day, so you slow the meal down. And you talk quietly to the kids. And our dining room is the hardest thing in the world to get peace. We now use our bigger dining room, it's very much better. Alright, you start putting children teens to bed at dinner time. So what you say to them is this. Okay, kids, let me tell you about going to bed tonight. Now, to bed tonight, we have supper at 9 o'clock or whenever, depending on the age of kids. And then there's just 50 minutes for you to clean yourselves up. No shower after chapel, got that? Okay, who you are, no showers. It's leaders too, remember leaders, no showers after chapel. Kids, no showers after chapel. Okay, so it's showers now, dinner time now, you've got time for shower, clean up if you like. Then it's chapel time, don't forget your Bibles. You didn't bring your Bible last night, so bring your Bible. Okay, Bibles, and then chapel time, games after chapel, then supper, and then after supper, bed, and I'll come along, or whoever's on putting kids to bed, and two guys and two ladies, and we knock on the door, come in, say, righto, this light's out 5 minutes. If your light goes out in 5 minutes, you get 10 points. If it doesn't go out, we'll turn it off, and no points, it goes on again, you lose points. Okay, if you bug the system, no swim tomorrow, or you'll miss out on go-karts. It's been a little bit tough, but they're going to learn. And so you tell them that, right at dinner time, when they're miles away from going to bed, way, 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 away, you've got to get through these kids, they're thick as bricks, you've got to communicate. And then at chapel time, first night this is all done, of course, at chapel time, you say, now, kids, just a few rules here, we talked about the use of the telephone, we talked about this, talked about that. I just want to talk about going to bed. Remember at dinner time we talked about that? Well, let me just remind you, I go through it all over again. Now, if anybody thinks they're going to bug the system, don't. And by the way, waking up tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you've got to skip to the loo, go to the loo, come back, get into bed, because you will not have a leader. For those who know what I'm talking about, the Lord will not have come. Your leader will come back to you, so don't panic. But do not get dressed and don't zap off, okay? Just get back into bed and be quiet. Somebody will be patrolling the cabins to make sure that happens. We have a leader's meeting, you see? All right, now, so you start way ahead. You don't start putting kids to bed at bedtime. It's all under your control. You think ahead of what you're going to do, and you start working at it way before you get there. A spiritual aim is obviously, well, we talked about that, you start putting children to bed. Remember that exhaustion, campers get hysterical, homesick, fearful, unmanageable. You can't. And my little daughter, when we sometimes go out, maybe for a picnic or something, she's different now, of course, and she'd be mad if she's there, I was telling you. When she was just a little girl at 5 and 6, she would be absolutely unbearable. You couldn't put her to bed. She's yelling and screaming. Sorry about that. And you just pulled off her shoes, pulled back the blanket, stuffed her in, pulled it up. Next morning she was fine. But I'd go to camps and we'd say, Malcolm, we had 40 people demon-possessed last night. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They had 40 kids that were totally exhausted. And those of you that have been parents, you've seen that happen. They're just absolutely shot. Nervous exhaustion, physical exhaustion. They're absolutely at it. They want a good sleep. That's all they want. But when you start casting out demons that aren't there, you're putting that kid through terrible traumas. Now, I'm not saying a child cannot be demon-possessed. But I would put that at the end of the line. A lot of kids that people say, I've got 3 kids in my cabin demon-possessed. Let me go and have a look. They're not demon-possessed. You look at their eyes, you talk to them, they're demon there, just tired. So you get camp mother, and if they're boys, camp mother comes in, well, what's going on in here? And they're crying, they've had a fight. Camp mother sits them down. Camp mother's very special people. They're not just people that sit there knitting, oops, dropped a stitch. They're people that know what they're doing and they're good. All right, spiritual aim, keep to that. Know what you're doing with your aims. Make sure you're getting there. Plan your devotions carefully. And one or two things that I wanted to say, but I ran out of time underlining things. Take, for instance, meals. Oh, somewhere up there in exhaustion, I should have said it somewhere in all this. You sometimes hear leaders say, run the beggars out the first day. Then they'll sit quiet in chapel. No, they won't. They'll go to sleep. That's not discipline. Running everybody dead so that when you have chapel time they'll sit quiet, that isn't discipline. That your lecture or your devotion must be awfully boring if you've got to get everybody to sit there with their tongues hanging out because you've taken them for a 10-mile hike somewhere. That's not discipline. Then you're not being disciplined. They're just exhausted. They'll be naughty next time. You haven't taught them to do the right thing. They just haven't got the energy to do the wrong. And there is a big difference. So be careful of this exhaustion deal. For instance, meals. I have lots of these. Say, Malcolm, why don't we sing grace? because I want to teach these kids to give thanks for their food. When they get back home, they're not going to sing grace. They're not going to sit around the table with, you know, mum and dad and old Uncle Arthur and their brother and sister and say, praise God for... Are they? They're just, but they might bow their heads. And plus the fact, every time you give thanks, I mean, the guy that gave thanks, he got picked on twice for a tea we had tonight, dinner. And his prayer was very natural, very ordinary. Very simple. He just talked to God. A lot of these kids go to Catholic homes and fancy homes and Presbyterian churches where everything's in fancy language. And they've got to learn that talking to God is just talking to God in your ordinary, everyday language. Don't even have to use authorized version language. We have moved forwards from 1611. And that's okay with God. And they need to know that. So we always say grace. Teenage camps occasionally will sing it because they like doing it. Counseling. You can teach leaders to handle basic problems. Our rule is men counsel boys, ladies counsel girls. Specialized training for those that have difficult times. How do you counsel? Well, after devotions in the chapel is a good time. By appointment, a mailbox system or whatever is one other way of doing it. We do have a rule, you only counsel one person at a time. Okay, making it work. Leaders' training is important. You can read that. We've got a zap down here a bit. Leaders need to be committed. We talked about that last camp, last time we were together. Committed people, people that don't mind what they do. They're the people you surround yourself with. Know the names of your leaders. Get your leaders to know the names of the group and have specific aims for people. Leaders meeting. We have our leaders meeting, as you'll see in the program in a minute coming up. And the leaders would have a type sheet like that with the day's program on. And they would know what their activities and duties were. And it's funny, if you sit there and discuss it, people will argue with you. But if you give everybody a type sheet, nobody argues. It's just that simple. And you haven't got time to argue. You're doing the job because you're supposed to be good. You've planned it. You've talked it over. Now, folk are very free to make a comment, and I would hate to think they couldn't open their mouths. What happens at night if I'm putting kids to bed? Well, I sit in the chapel. If I'm not on chapel, I'm not taking devotions. I take every other night. So I'm not on tonight. One of our students are doing it, and I've got a little pad there, and I'm making some suggestions about mistakes you may be making. But I work out my leadership. I just sit there with my pad, and I just work out who's on prayer, who's on this, who's on that. We're doing this. We're having a counselling training tomorrow at lunchtime. So we need somebody to cover up from the canteen because that canteen person will be in the counselling, somebody from here. And you just work it all out. I just sit there. And a few other little things. And I do a review of the day, how the day gone. Supper was a shambles last night. Who was on supper? It was a mess. The canteen was a shambles. You left the freezer lit up and you didn't shut the door. And I don't know who was on horses in the last period, but they're an absolute shambles. And canoes didn't come up last night. So I write all those things down. You're not getting anybody. People don't mind. You do it all in fun. Did you have the canoes? It was you, wasn't it, Greg? Right, you didn't put them back, did you, Howard? Okay, we'll do it next time, all right? They know that you're getting at them, but they don't get offended. All right, but it's all typed down here. So we review the previous day, we talk about what we're going to do, and we plan it. Everybody gets a sheet, and they know where they are. And that's important. Special activities are all listed in there. The ratios we've talked about. Communication. Make sure everybody knows what's happening. Your chef, if you're changing meal times, as you sometimes have to do, as I've mentioned, that your activity leaders know what's happening, that your referees know what's happening, the guy in canoes knows that things have been changed. For instance, we do have a fire engine, it's an old-fashioned fire, it's a lot of fun. And by the time you've cranked it up, you would never have it for one period and then put it away for the afternoon. Once you get the thing out, it's lovely, it's red, and it's got touch springs on it, and we've got firemen's uniforms that everybody wears, the little kids, and there's a little thing that, they tear up and down when they go up the road and sometimes into town. And they go, because it's a three-quarter activity, so they go right into town, so you go sort of into Tukley and driver and everybody sees it, they're all sort of sitting there. A lot of fun, the kids think it's marvellous. Now you wouldn't get the fire engine out for one activity and then the guy's got to put it away again. Because he's got to put all the uniforms away, fold them up, hang them up, and put the fire engine away. So you make sure that, you know, people know any changes. The guy on horses doesn't want to stand there on horses and suddenly find he hasn't got a group without being told. So communication's important. Camp mother, nurses, the camp office. Confusion leads to dissension. People start criticising. People get angry. They get frustrated. They know what's going on. They then rebel. And then sometimes they panic. And as I've said, their panic is a stampede of self-possession. Enthusiasm. We've said a lot about enthusiasm. It's the warm breeze that fills the sails of your craft as you move along. Watch out for moaners, cliques, gossipers, and dodgers. Leaders who dodge. We have one cadet leader a day is on pots, for instance, helps in the kitchen, puts an apron on and gets in there. They usually love it, but there's always some creep that dodges it. Well, watch out for those. Now, the last line there is somewhere here. Don't let the minority create the atmosphere. If you're in the mood, that might be something you want to underline so you can call up again. You may have a camp, say, of 100 kids, and you've got maybe 5 bad kids in the group. All right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the dining room. You over there. Will you just shut up and sit down for a minute? Look, we're waiting for you. Come on, fella. Will you please? Hey, you. Sit down. Leave that girl there. Now, I've talked to you before. Now, you've got 100 nice kids there. 5 idiots. What are you doing? You're telling everybody off with your voice. You're letting the minority create the atmosphere. Don't do it. You over there. I'll see you again. Okay? Wrap up. That's the last I'll tell you. Okay? Got it? Sorry, kids, for that idiot over there, but he's a bit thick. And I'm going to have a go at him afterwards. Okay? Well, my apologies for that. We're a super group here. Okay? Sit. Right. Here we go, folks. We're going to give thanks. You give me thanks tonight. Do you like to come and hang with it? But don't let them. But time and again, I go to camps, and the leader yells and screams, and he says, oh, what a terrible lot of kids. And I've sometimes said, how many bad kids have you got? Well, I don't know. Well, come on, let's count them up. Give me their names. He doesn't even know their names yet. Now, instead of saying, hey, you at the back there with the hair on, that get away with a little bit of a laugh. But if I can say, John, sit. Andrew, will you just sit down and leave that girl alone, for goodness sake? You should know better. You're married. All right? Okay. But if you can use a person's name, but what you can do, in a big crowd of people, I had a guy, a leader, he was so honest, he was a pain in the neck. Supposing you've got 200, 300 kids, you see. And everyone's talking. What do you do? So you can be in a room of 300 people, all talking, and you cannot see one person talking. It's so frustrating. So what you do is you say, will that boy over there stop talking? All the boys stop. You say, that girl over there, would you please stop talking? All the girls stop. It's easy, because all the girls think it's them. Piece of cake. Well, I had this leader, you see, and he couldn't control this dining room. And I said, just say that boy, but I can't see one. I said, it doesn't matter. But that's dishonest, Malcolm, and I'm not going to be dishonest. For goodness sake, there's 50 boys out there talking. Let's do it. But I couldn't do it. I can't see one. It was a pain. So I said, well, you fix it, you know. Eventually, he gave in to his conscience and did it. But it's very, very simple. There's our program. Girls sometimes get up a little bit earlier. It depends what sort of a place they've got to arrange. Leaders meeting at 6. But I want to say this. As the camp wears on and the kids don't want to get up at 7, we'll probably go to 6:15. And if there isn't much in the leaders' meeting, we've got to discover we'll go to 6:30 to 7:15. But we normally wake them up at 5. They sleep by the door with their head toward the door. Camp mother goes in, gives them the kiss of life. And that's why we have dishy camp mums. And then they get up. They're not allowed to turn the light on. They get showered and dressed. And they come to the leaders' meeting. Then they're fed and watered by 6. We have a leaders' meeting. Then they go back and they have their cabin quiet time. That's probably the most important thing we do in camp, is to teach them how to have their own quiet time in their room. I wouldn't do it because I'm a nice person. I'd love to say to you, how many of you here in this lecture had a quiet time this morning? If you didn't, you're a backslider. Period. And you may be able to teach little kids to have their own morning quiet time. You have done more than all the sermons, because they're going to get home and they're going to... So it's not a preachment. You just show them, I haven't got time to talk about it, but you just show them how they would have their quiet time in their own bedroom. There's the SU notes, the U3 notes, that's where the Bible is, and that's how you do the questions. You don't help them, and they learn to pray, all right? Then we have breakfast. We do vegetable before breakfast because it might carry on till after. Then we have privileges, which are really duties, but we call them privileges. Then we have inspection, where everybody's inspected, points if you've been clenched teeth. We look for lollipop, we really give it a going over. Out of 20, if they get under 10, they take everything out, even the light bulbs. Everything comes out. Light bulbs, lampshades, mattresses. Everything comes out on the footpath. And we stand there with a leader, and they clean everything. It takes a whole double period. They miss their swim. They miss their go-kart. They spend the whole where that place is spotted. They'll never do it again. And quite frankly, when they have to do it once, if your cabin isn't tidy, kids, if you get under 10, do it all. And you'll do it too, somebody will say. Never threaten what you can't carry out. Morning study groups, half an hour. Must have a visual aid for that, each leader. Morning tea, biscuits or fruit. Then we have activities here which are divided into, as you can see, 2 hour lots, but they're really three quarter hours with a quarter hour between. Quarter hour to get cleaned up for lunch, bookshop canteen, that's a free time period where you might like to plan some free activity like eeling or something like that you want to go. And the duck shooting, so you go ducking, picking up all the ducks that somebody shot and didn't pick up, you know, that's still alive. Then you have activities, dinner, clean up, chapel, games, supper, lights out, silence. And the leader sleeps with his cabin, and the leader goes to bed with the kids. Law. No excuses, no reasons. We never bend the rule. And that's what I've said, that exhaustion isn't discipline. I have a few fights. Can we go for some milk when we've got everybody to bed? No. Can we have a special supper? No. You're tough. Yes. You kids are here for 5 days to give yourself to these children. You came here to win them for Christ, not to go for super swims, have special suppers, clown around the place half the night. You've got 5 days. One day you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and he will say to you, I entrusted 10 children to you for 5 days at Turtle Springs Camp, and what did you do with those 5 days? You've got to answer these 5 days, buddy. So suppers are off. Swims are off. You sleep with your kids, you eat with your kids, you do duties with your kids, you do activities with your kids. The only time you're not with your kids is when they're swimming, and then I suggest you go along and just have a look at them, watch them dive into the pool and so on, and then you just leave them. And maybe just go and have a little bit of a break. And we're fortunate with a pool like that. There's some ideas that we would have if you want to talk about them, any there that aren't obvious, but they're special things that we would fit in for children's camps and teenage camps just for one day. Other kind of things we'd do. Right, we're on to camping in the church, and we'll just zap down this fairly quickly because we've got to stop on time. Okay, we're talking now briefly about a camp and the church. Now, involving a local evangelical church, the question is, why should we come? I just made one or two obvious suggestions. Your camp needs some sort of a suitable brochure. In your budgeting with your committees, budget advertising. We budget $2,000 a year for advertising. We don't use it. But I'm just reprinting that brochure now, probably going to cost me maybe $3,000-$4,000 to do that. We did a video a while ago, and it was professionally done. Nothing wrong with this. But this was done professionally. It was a lot of work. It cost us $3,000. They gave us a 50% discount because they're Christians. And we did the script. And it cost us $1,500. I should have brought it with you. And if you're carrying on with camping, I'm very happy for you to say it. It only lasts for, I think, 8 minutes. But it's a video, and we send it to churches. If your church is coming, you get the video. If your school group's coming, you get the video. And you can see camp in action. And it's a good advert. We go around the schools with a package. We have an envelope about that big. It's got a picture of Church Springs on the envelope. And inside is all the guff. Brochure and the little booklet about all the activities, the things of interest around the camp, the quarry, the stud farms, the fault line, all that's available, everything that they could go and see. And it's all there. So when you go to the headmaster, it's very carefully done, you or the teacher, you just pull it out very professionally. And you just pull it out. And I'm very fussy how the staff dress when they're going doing that kind of thing. Don't exaggerate your camp. I hope I've never boasted about Totra Springs. I often say it's a nice little camp in the White Canada. I think it's a lovely camp, to be honest. But I never boast about it. It's far better if you say, oh, Malcolm, we had no idea your camp was this nice. Far better, oh, Malcolm, but you said, but, you know. And whatever you advertise must be available. If you say go-karts, you've got to have go-karts. You can't say the go-kart's broken this weekend. So we've got 2 go-karts. One only goes out of time, but 3 motors. All right? So that when the go-kart comes in broken, the other one goes out. And while that one's going out, we swap the motors over. It's only the motors that usually go wrong. You swap the motor over in, 5 minutes? Just 4 nuts. Lift it up, put the other one on, 4 nuts, put the chain on again, and away it goes. But you can't advertise and not be available, because as far as that group is concerned, it's their only week in the whole year. And for them, it's special. All right, we've talked about that. Oh, visit by camp rep. If you've got a camp rep that's good at that sort of thing, we happen to have one. And he visits the group before they come. He visits the church before they come. Talk about their program, what they want, and that kind of thing. Big help. Options are another thing that we would talk to the group about. What are you coming to do? Outreach? Fellowship? Discipleship? Is it a study? You know, what are you trying to do this weekend? And let them know the options that are available. Running your camp by electives is a help. Now, this would be, say this, the one that I've listed on your notes there, would be an outreach camp. So here comes Parramatta, and they've got lots of unsaved friends. And these friends know that if they go to camp, they're going to get done with the Bible. So they want to know, why should we go to your camp? It's going to cost us maybe $80 if we come with our family. That's a lot of money. And I want to go to play golf, and she wants to go and do this. Why should we come? Well, we certainly will have a time. It's called a family time together, and we have singing and a Bible talk. But and these are the things. I've just put a few down here that we would do. Lathe work. And we could round up about 8 lathes, and they'll go in our garage. Fly fishing, Chinese cooking, painting, cane work, floral art, pottery, microwave cooking, macrame, computer basics, home finance, cultism. There's quite a few people interested in that. Indoor bowls, wool spinning, and many, 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 many more. So they come, and they would have, so this guy puts down, Andrew's coming, and he wants to do fly fishing. He would have 3 electives on fly fishing. The different kind of flies, how to make them, how to cast them, and so on. You, down there, you'd like to do some lathe work. Never done wood turning in your life. So you come along, you put down lathe work, and so we make sure that it's all set up, and you might have 10 guys on lathe work. Okay, well, they can do that. They go to the 3 lessons that are given throughout the weekend, 2 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday morning. And but they spend the whole of Saturday turning up little egg cups, and the guy would just supervise it. The most popular down there, really, mainly for men, is the Chinese cooking. Got a little Chinese Singaporean lady, fantastic, not a Christian, absolutely fantastic. Cost a little bit, but she is terrific, and she gets wok going, and she does it all and puts these meals, and all these guys, I don't know whether they're there for the Chinese cooking. She's a bit of a dish too. That wasn't meant to be a pun. People that have never been able to paint, we've happened. Now this isn't Totra Springs being good. All these people are just Christians in the church. They belong to me. See? You all belong to me. I belong to you. All right? And, if it's a Christian, grab them. They've got a gift, use them. I don't worry about the denomination. Grab the beggars. They're part of the body. Let's use them. And the thrill is, for instance, a guy in our church, he never opens his mouth. He's got a very sort of dominant wife. She even drives the car. And he's a very quiet guy. And I found he did lathe work. And I said, could you come to the camp and do lathe? Love to, Malcolm. Well, I've got a lathe. And he's got a lathe. And he knew this was about 6 weeks ahead. He scratched it around. He got, I think it was 8 lathes all in my garage. And because it was, I could lock it up and it was safe. You see, that's why we did it there. And also made a mess. And it was fantastic. And this guy, he never bleats in the church. He wouldn't even give out a hymn. It takes him all his time to cough. And yet here at camp, he has got all these guys and he's brilliant at lathe work. Now, isn't that what we've got to try and do? Find a job for everybody? And these folk were thrilled. The lady on doing floral art, and I asked if she'd do the floral art for the tables at night, because we sort of have a banquet time thing on a weekend every Saturday night, you see. And she forgot, and she had these little jobs about that high, and I said, no, Mr. Barry, you couldn't possibly use those tables. I thought you'd know that. You have to have little flat ones, and so I couldn't use them. But we did all sorts of floral art. Pottery was a lot of fun. We even, we had a little brick kiln that somebody made under the balcony. Home finance, what about computers? But you could add to that. I think we had 14 in this weekend we did. And if we had a camp coming, like Parramatta was coming, I wouldn't organise those for Parramatta, because the beggars would turn up and say, Malcolm, as a matter of fact, we don't want Chinese cooking. And I've got this lady there all set to go, and she's going to be mad, and that's the last time she'll come. So I say, there's all the people. You write to them. You organise them. But it's a different way of doing it. A study camp. These are all electives. A book study. They could go and do a book study, maybe on Ephesians, or could do Bible doctrines. That Andrew's doing the person of Christ over there. Over there you're doing the Holy Spirit. The person over there doing future events. That person's doing elective on the church. And you're just doing electives, Bible electives. Now this is a totally Christian church. Obviously there are no unsaved here. Alright, a missionary one. And we work out with electives. And we have spontaneous prayer. Whenever the music plays, whoever you're closest to, you pray with. A lot of fun. Discipleship, maybe another elective that you're working on. A 10-day Bible school, special skills, is another kind of elective that you want to have. Counselling. Marriage guidance counselling. There are so many. And in your church, I know Mrs. Scott, would be great sort of doing that kind of thing. Another lady, for instance, Mrs. Graham Hayden. Mrs. Hayden, she looks after people that are terminally ill, cancer folk. Marvellous to have a lady like that talking to those interested on how you counsel the bereaved or the terminally ill. Now, a lot of people in church would love to just have a little elective on that. So you can run very, very successful camps, either outreach camps, study camps, young people's camps, on an elective basis. Have a study all together in the morning for a singing and a devotion. And they've all listed what their electives are, and off they go and do it. And your camp is a piece of cake. The good thing is they don't want the go-karts. So you don't wear them out. Marriage seminar. And that young marriage camp is one that we do, where the young marriage come, so Andrew and his wife would come and get the kids adopted out for the weekend, you see. So Mr. and Mrs. Gibbs, because they're a bit older, would look after his kids, and so they come. It's like honeymoon all over again. You've got all these married couples with no kids. Marvellous, they're absolute idiots. You know, we have as few rules as possible. They're still in the pool at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, absolutely. They come struggling in for breakfast. Can we have breakfast at 10? So we have breakfast at 9. But we have studies specially for them, you know, for young marriage. Most of them have been married maybe 10 years. Things are going wrong. Got problems in their marriage. Difficulty never thought of. No kids to worry about. And it's a special weekend. And a lot of things get done in that weekend. Marvellous. But no kids. The church adopts the kids. If you're under 40, you have to adopt somebody's kids. Unless the mother's feeding the baby, of course. Family camps. You can look down that one. So much value in it. The togetherness of being together. Breaking down barriers of age, class, race. Just talking together. Seeing how other families operate. You learn a lot through family modelling. Make sure you're programmed but not pressured. Structured but don't smother the folk that you're working with. I think we're almost through. That brings us to the end of our study. I think we could grab a couple of minutes, dash through that last one, but it's really very obvious. I don't think I've said anything that's not obvious in all the times we've been together. Any questions that you may have or anything you'd like to add or subtract?
The leaders could have time off when their kids go swimming.
Yes.
Do you have special leaders supervising their swimming or is your pool?
Yes. No, we have special leaders.
The question was, when the group is swimming, what we do, half the camp, so the junior camp on swimming, we call it free time, so they can swim, go down the grotto, they can go on the jigger, they can be on the trampolines, play table tennis, be in the lounge. There's lots of free things, but swim is part of it. And you two are on pool patrol. So you'd get out there and you'd get there first, and they're not allowed in the gate until you're there, and you'll be getting there quickly. See, they have a shower before they get in the pool. Now, his team, he's got a junior team, and they're on swimming. You're patrolling it. He'll turn up and just for his own sake, walk around and see his little kids from there, just sharp. And then he'll duck up the lounge, have a cup of coffee, you see. But people are on the pool. Now, next time round, you'll be free, and these two are on the pool. We have a roster system. You follow so that different people, and if it's wet weather, well, somebody looks after the drying room, because kids haven't got a clue about drying rooms. Yeah. So really, in the day, you have at least two periods that are virtually free unless you're on pool activity. Because we have one swim in the morning, one swim in the afternoon. All kids are free. But we like, you say to the kids, and you see Brad would say, okay kids, it's swim time now, everybody sit down, you just get your little group together. And say, now, how many of you kids are going swimming? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, you go swimming. Remember, don't go in the pool till the lid's there. And what are you other kids going to do? How about we go down the bush? Let's go ducking. Let's go eeling. Let's go and see what we can do. And you come to me and say, look, we'd like to do archery. And I look down and say, well, hang on. You're an archery tomorrow night. But if you want to do it now and you don't mind having it sort of twice for these kids, is that okay? Okay, well, the archery's free at the moment, so you can have archery. So you go with your kids and you're with them, you see. You don't necessarily take the time off. I mean, that's a good leader. But the leader says, okay, you kids, I don't care what the heck you do, but get out of my sight, I'm going to have a sleep. Well, okay, that leader doesn't come back. Or unless they get dedicated. All right? Anything else?
Yes. So in one of the previous talks, you were talking about groups using your campsite. Do you limit your campsite to the certain mainstream evangelical churches, or do you let the...
Yes. We allow one or two social clubs in. The question was, do we let out campsite out of anybody? No, we don't. Extreme Pentecostal churches we're against, and we don't invite them to come. We have, for instance, we have every year, the little guy in the front always wants whiskey in his tea. I'd love to do it for him, get the shop of his life. The Manchester Unity Lodge. They come, but we say, well, look, we'd love you to come, but can we take your Sunday morning devotion? Now, they come, and the reason is, it's a little bit sneaky. You see, people say, oh, of course, your camp's just for Christians, isn't it? Oh, no, we have the Intellectually Handicapped, we have the Crippled Children's Society. Just the other week, we had the Manchester Unity Lodge. That's all. But it's nice to be able to say that to these people, because they get the wrong idea that you've got to be a Christian to come there. And it's a very good public relations deal. The Kiwanis run an intellectually handicapped sort of Olympic Games on our property. Now, their intellectually handicapped devotions are really not very valuable. That's not being unkind, I'm not being cynical. We certainly have prayer with them, and we still have all the usual things, and we run the camp. Spiritual value, virtually nil. Public relations value, as far as the whole of the Waikato and most of the North Island, fantastic. We end up in the paper. We try to get Totara Springs in our local newspaper every month. Now, I blew it when Andrew came, and I blow it often, but when Andrew came to Totara Springs, I should have if I'd have been wide awake, but, you know, you've missed the bus more times than I catch it. But I would have said to the local, oh, we've got a gentleman here that is doing a camping program at Emmaus in Sydney, and we would have got him interviewed, he's photographed in the paper, all free. Not ads. These are when you're building something. It's in. If you, for instance, we had three canoes donated to us by the Rotary, and we made a great deal of that, you see. So I try to have camp in the newspaper once a month so that everybody in Matamata, you know, knows we're a caring people. You know, those people are fantastic. You know, they had 200-odd crippled children in that camp the other day, you know. Look at the photographs, and we take them all through, make sure that's why our fire engine goes through the town. It's an advertising gimmick.
Yeah, what I was getting at was like a charismatic group. We had a uniting church in at the Boys Inn, which has been basically straight up and down the line. Well, they got a team in from Canberra, and it was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that? If you say no to them, they can take you up to the Equal Opportunities Board. If you're running a public campsite, it's open basically for all groups, isn't it? Or
no, I don't think yours is. Yours is a Christian campsite. And it depends what's in your original philosophy. It's in your philosophy that we don't see. The same argument is, the question is, you know, against this legislation against people, he is discriminating against this religious body. Therefore, Mormon should book your camp and everybody else. The same is argued that you could be made to have, if the person applied for it, was proved that their skills were better, a homosexual in your kitchen. Now, there is no way you'd have a homosexual in your kitchen. So the way you get over this problem is that you are asking us to do something that jeopardizes our civil liberty. I don't want a homosexual. And if I have a homosexual, then I'm suffering. My civil liberty is being damaged by him. And in our philosophy, do it. I don't make a big fuss. We had a crowd that came and they told us they were straight down the line. They were idiots. In fact, they nearly drowned somebody in the pool. They had to come up speaking in tongues. They had a baptism in the afternoon. I wasn't there. And the staff were very, very upset. And one of them actually jumped in and saved the guy. And they put him underwater. He was supposed to come up speaking in tongues. He didn't. They put him under again. And they all got carried away because they'd done about 8 or 9. I don't know. They'd all come out speaking in tongues, which isn't what the Bible teaches anyway. Because not for believers, and they were believers, so they were wrong anyway. But as a result, but this guy couldn't do it, see? So they put him under again, put him up. Hey, Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, down he went again. Jesus, Jesus, down he went again, see? Jesus, Jesus, down he went again. And the poor guy couldn't do it, they got all carried away. And they were putting him under before he was up. And he was just really in trouble. So one of our staff jumped in, dragged him to the side. And the whole thing all petered out, they were very angry. And I said, you told me you were not Pentecostal. And I said, I'm very disappointed in you, because you told me you weren't. Well, don't you have Pentecostal? Well, no, we don't, because we're two different kinds of people, and we don't support that, and this is the reason why. And what I did say to them, look, we're not going to have an argument now. Never lose your temper. Rule is, when you lose your temper, walk away. And never have a discussion while everybody's hot, because it doesn't help. We just say things we wish we had never said. And once you've said it, all the apologies in the world never get that word back. Some idiot said, sticks and stones may hurt my bones. That's a lot of cotwallop. You get over sticks and stones, but you don't get over words. And so we said, look, I tell you what, we'll come and see you in your office and with many people in your church as you like, and we will discuss our policy with you. He said, okay, you're on. Well, when we got there, he was the only guy that was there. And we said, we just will not have this at our camp. And I'm sorry, we don't believe in it. And we gave him some honest, though dramatic evidences where it was obviously wrong. And he said, well, as a matter of fact, so we said, we won't have it. He said, well, as a matter of fact, I'm speaking in tongues while I'm listening to you now, in my mind. That's almost us. But it's got to be written in your trust sort of deed of what you have and what you don't have. See, this is why all our workers are commended workers. You see, if Brad were to come over there for 6 months, I would say, look, just get a letter of commendation. Of course, you probably wouldn't get it, but try. From your assembly, you see, just say that we commend to your love and care to work at Totara Springs and work with Brad. You see, now he comes from an evangelical church. Now, we only take people, it's a policy we have, we only take people on our staff. And I think the Christian church has got to stand up on this one. See, booze is another one. Now, to be very honest, and this tape will get me hung, if somebody's bought a bottle of wine, I don't make a fuss. I don't go tearing round witch hunting, because I know hundreds of fabulous Christians. We had a very great preacher, a tremendous preacher, and if you knew him, you'd say, Malcolm. And I had to have lunch with him. He said, Malcolm, is it all right if I have a glass of wine? I'm against drinking wine. I could be a proper alcoholic. I am against it. I'm not saying that. But lots of Christians do in the Brethren Church. We're a Brethren camp. Lots of Christians do in the Baptist Church. You'd be amazed at the people that take me out for lunch. And they have wine. The homes I go in, there's the bottles of wine in their home. Many homes I've been in, Christian homes in Australia, Sydney. And there are bottles of wine on the shelves. I haven't said a word to them. None of my business what they did. And I'm not here to preach against it. Nobody asked my opinion. But it would be totally wrong for us to say you're not allowed to drink wine. But we talk about alcohol. And if I see it, I say, look, I see you've got some wine there. Look, if I see it again, I really, you know, because our policy, so just give it outside. I suppose you're just having a little nip at night here. Well, as long as it's okay, it's fine. Now, that's where we stand. And a beer, we take a different view of that. I said, look, I'm not happy about all that beer. Would you like to put it in the box here and we'll shove it in the fridge for you till you go home? Because it does say on the leaflet, no alcohol, and really my job's in jeopardy. I'm sorry, Malcolm. You know, look, we shouldn't have brought it, you know. But you do it nicely, as you would. I would rather have a social group like the Kiwanis than I would have some of these extreme Pentecostal groups, because they're completely irreligious and unbiblical and unchristlike in many things they do. But then there's the middle stream, which are difficult, and we don't pick on that. You know, the Hamilton AOG are a fantastic group of people. And then you can have the other Baptist church in Hamilton that I won't name, and they're more Pentecostal than the Pentecostals. So it's very difficult. See, I don't know of very many Brethren churches in New Zealand that haven't got some Pentecostal people in their church. You know, they know where I stand when I preach, and I'm not going to back down on it, but I don't get nasty. So if we said no, Pentecostal, we don't, and we're fortunate, like you, we're full, I think, for our weekend camps up to somewhere around about 1990, which is very good. And so we can be choosy. We just say we're full. We don't make an issue. The Mormons want to come. They're always ringing us up. We say, look, I'm off, so we're full. And that's true. We don't say we don't have the Mormons, as you wouldn't. And the secret is, just about this, you promote your camp all the time. We're full. But I'm still going to get a new brochure and get another video done, because we've got enough pictures to get the video redone. They say, Malcolm, what do you spend all the money for? I want to keep promoting our camp while we're full. We'll stay full. If we start advertising our camp when we've got vacancies, then that's panicking. We're not going to do that. We want, if you've got to get to Turtle Springs, you've got to book 3 years in advance, sort of thing. Now, that's not quite true, but a lot of people think that, and it's good for business. All right, school groups are a bit different.
Yeah.
My final word would be, in all that we do, strive for excellence. When you finish what you are doing, that was the best you could do with the time, money, facilities and gifts you've got. It was said of Mary, she had done what she could. Jesus doesn't ask more than that.